Çödo yazo çödomba jomden den de jen jeva ta jomba yanda va zobe sange rigva da şav Jigden jemba jebo deve kalo jurva lana mebala da menange domba zange jom Beja vaşa ca duba la ca ze lo çudu yapso çe o tümba çumden de deje java ta yanda va zobe zange reba da yapso demba devara çeba cikden kemba cebun kalo gürva lana meba la da menam ge tümba sange çumden de beja vaşa ca duba Yavzu Cehoy Gumbu Cedin Cambi Yanla Cazilo Kangilo Tütimni Etin Ninda Namda Rabzi Ve Çini Döngü Çici Sici Nigi Tuga Alibamazi Kanda sibe zura amare mendomo edonye geze Tozo gün la poje tarze yen la çocu yandın son Çodara çeco nyomo nilo lege çado çöze Mare meze donye nyogo jenye jönze radı nam Tene dağcı sacı tarzı yönden hünzo gazı dövü gu. Çuda çuda çuni kendi talümüz cambi yaladı. Omo araba zanadı. Omo araba zanadı. Omo araba zanadı. Umara bazana di 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 Lodzhi bobe na wa tse do tse Pege jo zhen me to chama Re ra le shen yin de gen ba de Sange shen la me den be wa yi Jo gun nam da shen da chi bara sho Tamba genam ye çöğü kalay kendi dindine Çedara zambi düca zemala Sabge çöğü çaba abdusu Dala ganaya dayame Soji chona la chanchu palu dhani gyamsu che Tagi chushi jibe sonam ge Chola penche sanje ndru bara sho Ji chudang soji chona la chanchu palu dhani gyamsu che Tagi chushi jibe sonam ge Chola penche sanje ndru bara Çöda soji çonamala çancu padu tani gyamsu Tagi çöşi gibi sonamın ki Çola pence san çobara şo Sada ala Mehmet Amiyancı, Ombo Dağan Cacin Lazo, Çöce Çola, Çava Ceva, Namaz Sanke Sumba, Rabdo Şeşen, Teve Gülü Bağan, Deda Şeke, Dabe Çönye Çene, Deşeşe, Namo Olay Ege, Dalu Da, Nüşen Ceren, Rübun Da, Dame Ege, Nam Dağan, Dova Künce, Çana Çizaba, Tam Şeke, Du, Tage, Çötün, Dos.
Is it there? Okay, good morning. What happened to our Tibetan friends? Maybe there is an event.
Yeah, probably.
I think His Holiness, yeah, sister is here in town, so maybe they have some event. Okay, anyway, so how was your past 2 weeks? Did you remember to do the homework? Did anybody do any of this?
I had a very personal gratefulness, because I'm a cross-country skier. I was very grateful to the maintenance crews at Elm Creek Park who were round the clock to make snow for all the skiers in town to ski on. And it opened yesterday, and there were all these very happy people skiing around on the trail. So I was grateful for that. Also, I noticed in this article this morning, there was an article in the Variety section on gratitude as a way of promoting psychological well-being. And I took a look at it. It's an interesting article.
Anyone? So in other words, nobody did the homework.
No, it's not true. this is recorded, so there are many things, I just don't want to go into, but I never, I use it and I pass it along to the best of my ability. And the gratitude is, I give it to other people's, as homework as well as a Nikon, and talk to my colleagues about Nikon and so forth. So I always pass things along. And I'm grateful that I have this, the circumstances that allows me to do that.
Okay. Yeah, we have discussed before, yeah. This time we are going to do something different. We have attended so many. I'm talking about today, but generally, I told in the beginning that we have attended teaching so many times. We have covered Lamrim, all that, but we all lack practice. We all lack implementation. So that's why I remember in the beginning we said that this time we will try to do something different. So that is to really try to apply, to really put some effort to do. Only then you will see the result, you will see the difference. Otherwise, it will be the same old thing. You will be, taking copious notes and all that, but then same. Another Lama comes, let's go and write down. Same thing. I know for some people it helps to understand, to write. That's okay. I am not against taking notes. What I'm saying is important is try to put into practice. The way you put effort in taking notes. Put some effort in really, trying to apply that. Then it will be different. Otherwise, remember the quote, Einstein's quote. you do the same thing again and again and expect to have a different result. That is, he defined it as insanity. So we all fall in that category. We do the same thing and we are expecting a different result. So that is difficult. So let's continue. Today is supposed to be meditation class, but I think we need to finish this. Otherwise, it will affect all that schedule. Do you see on there? What do you see? Do you see that?
Covetousness.
Covetousness. You see that, yeah? So we have covered until... we have already covered the three of the physical and then four of the speech. And now we are coming to the three of the mind. So the first one is covetousness. So I think most of you, I think all of you actually understand what that means. So covetousness is, you know, something that does not belong to you, but you have this desire to possess, desire to acquire. So that is a general idea of what covetousness is. But then as we discussed earlier, that in order to become a complete karma, you need to have all these four elements present. So what are the four? So the first, of course, the basis, wealth or property of others. So it has to be, of course, in Lamrim, it says that it can also, you know, covetousness can arise also towards your own possessions. But generally, the consensus is that, you know, it has to be a wealth or possession of others. And then the thought, there are three, yeah, the correct discrimination. You need to have the right, a correct perception that, you know, whatever you are desiring for, you must recognize that that has to be a mistaken perception. And then the motivation is to possess that object, one covets. And affliction, any of the three poisons, afflictions. So of course, mostly it's the attachment, driven by attachment. Then it could be also by the other two. The actual action is do something to acquire it. And culmination, so here the difference between the first two is that here you don't need to do anything physically or verbally. But here, if the it depends on the intensity. So you have this wanting to have this, and then you ponder on it and ruminate over it. And then once you have this resolve, I must have it. Yeah, I definitely want to have that thing for myself. When that decision arises, then it becomes the full karma. So just to illustrate this, what do you see over there? This is from Macy shop. It's a sham. Let me just tell you this story. It happened to me. And I went to Macy's, the departmental store there. And then they have this section, your last chance or something. It's clearance stock. So I was browsing.
Final sale,
yeah. Your last action or last chance, something. You know, there's a separate area there. So I saw this. And you see the price. Original price is $6.60. And they're selling at $4.96. That's a real steal, isn't it? But what happened was, I didn't know what sham means. I was looking for pillowcase, you see. So when I saw that, it looks like pillowcase, but it didn't say pillowcase. So sham. I even checked the dictionary. Dictionary says that the opening in the middle, that didn't really help. So I just bought one and asked the the cashier. And I also bought a pillow and said, will this fit in? Of course, she said, yes, it will fit in. But I wasn't very sure, just to be safe. So I bought only one. Got home, opened it, and the material is flannelia. So good. And then, oh, I must go back. I wanted more. That's covetousness. When I made that resolution, I resolved to have it. And I went back. Anthony very kindly dropped me there. He facilitated to, create this covetousness.
You must have been practicing.
Yeah, of course, it doesn't have to go there. Once I have this resolution, when I resolve to acquire it, that is covetousness. So after reading this, and then I remember, that's how it happens. So normally, we don't realize. So imagine, if you are a person who likes to go window shopping, you are very vulnerable to have this, to cultivate or to create this karma. So what are the results? Of course, the ripened result is any of the lower rebirth, according to the intensity of the karma. And the corresponding would have great attachment and no contentment. We know some people who have lots, but still not contented. You wonder why, and you think that, if I were to have that kind of money and wealth, I will be very satisfied. But there are people. Of course, the question is whether when we get there, will we be satisfied? Will we be contented? That's another issue. But there are people who have plenty, actually, but they're not contented. And then some people, even though, the more they have, I think maybe you have also noticed, when the person, when he is not so wealthy, is very generous. Then when the person becomes wealthier, suddenly becomes very stingy. So maybe this is, you become more attached to your things. And if you have more things, of course, more reason to have more attachment. If you have only one thing, of course, attachment will be only one attachment to that thing. But if you have so many things, you have attachment to all of this. Yeah. So the result, corresponding result is that, you will have, there's no contentment all the time attached to things, have all the time, despite your wealth, you will be desiring more and more. So that is very painful. If you keep wanting to have more and more, and then when you don't get it, there is disappointment. And I think Japan now, the suicide rate is highest. I think that is, of course, there are many factors. One factor is because the standard of living is really, every year is going up. Let's say everybody, this year you are using this kind of TV, but next year is completely another TV. And you want to live up to that. In order to do that, you need to churn money. Otherwise, you cannot afford that. So you have to keep up with the,
With the Joneses.
What's that?
Joneses.
Keeping with Jones. Yes. Keeping with Jones. Yes. That's the phrase. Yeah. So that's the problem. So you want to have more and more and more. And in order to have more, acquire more, you need to have money. In order to have more money, nobody gives free money. You have to work hard. You have to sacrifice your free time. That's when you get stressed. That's when this thought of suicidal thought arises. Suicidal ideation, isn't it? It's called.
You also sacrifice your time with your loved ones.
Yes, the one reason, yes. One reason why materialism, pursuit of materialism, results in unhappiness is because when you are able to spend quality time with your family and loved ones, it automatically increases the level of your happiness. But when you don't have that, because you are spending your whole time pursuing after wealth, so that's what happens. Environmentalism, all excellent things will deteriorate and diminish every year, every season, month, and even each day, and will not increase.
Rinpoche, may I ask permission to make a report on the homework after all? May I?
Cannot. Sure, please.
I have spoken about mice. Okay. And what I had found is that trapping them was very time consuming, because you had to check every day, because if you don't, then they will die there, and there you are. But you also have to take them away at least 2.5 miles. So that's a lot of, you know, and I already worked really far from home. So I decided, okay, that's going to be my practice. So that's what I'll do. But then I I discovered that there's electronic stuff. That it makes a sound that they don't like. So that's what I saved some money. I got some, and then I waited till I got paid again, and then I have some other ones, and it sends them away. It means you have to go somewhere else, my friends. So that's how. So I feel really good about this, because it was sad for me to, you know, to, I didn't want to harm them.
Okay.
So that's.
Yeah. So then the malice. Or ill intention. The base is another sentient being. So it has to be somebody, a sentient being. You cannot, hold ill intention against a stone or rock or tree, you know. It has to be a sentient being, another sentient being. And then the thought, correct discrimination, so it's same, the unmistaken perception, whoever the person you are, you know, having this ill intention. And motivation, of course, ill intention is to cause harm, desire to cause harm to that person. And affliction, of course, any of the three poisons, but mostly I think it is hatred. So normally you hold ill intention or malice against somebody you dislike, you have some disagreements, or your enemies. Yeah. The culmination of the action results to go through the action of harming the other person. So you don't have to really cause actual harm, but as long as you resolve to cause harm, that is good enough to fulfill the complete karma.
So, what is the karma associated with malice, thoughts of malice towards an object? You know, there's something that's in your way and you don't like it there, and you get really angry and you kick it or whatever. There's no person there.
So, there is, of course, there is a malice, but it's not a complete karma. So, either one of this is missing. If the karma, if the action misses one of these criteria is missing, then even though it is an action of malice, but it is not a full karma, so the result will be lighter. The results, the ripened result is same with the rest of the negative karmas, so birth in lower realms, and corresponding result is short-tempered, would seek the unbeneficial or not seek the beneficial, and you would harm others or others would harm you. So it's a corresponding, yeah. So you have caused harm, so the corresponding result is that you will be harmed in the future. And the corresponding behavior is because you have this created the ill intention. So you become a short-tempered person. Some people, you know, very easy to flare up. So those, yeah, we can say that we can suggest that, you know, could be the result of malice, holding ill intention towards other people. And then environmental result will be born in a place where there are epidemics and infectious disease, where there are many people and animals who might cause harm. And I was just browsing each year how many people die from animal harms, and surprising. Every year there die so many people because of animals kill them, either insects or snakes or even cows and all that. Then finally we have wrong view. So wrong view is holding a view that denies the existence of something real. So for example, we say we believe that karma, there is concept of karma. So people who does not subscribe to that, there's no karma, there's no three jewels, there's no cause and effect. So these are wrong views when you subscribe to that kind of concept that denies the existence of concepts such as karma, cause and effect. So that is wrong view. And then the thought. Correct discrimination is believing that it is correct to deny things that actually exist. Of course, to that person, yeah, he is not denying something that exists, but he thinks that yeah, it is correct to deny the existence of karma. It is correct to deny the existence of cause and effect, or the life, rebirth, and all that. And motivation, wanting to deny affliction, any of the three poisons, the actual action engaged in that wrong view. And the culmination of action when one makes a definite decision that such is the nature of things. So when you say, oh, there is no karma, that is the reality. So when you resolve, when you make this decision that yes, you know, there is no karma, that is the reality. So that's when you are engaging in wrong. That completes the wrong view. Then the corresponding result is stupidity. You would have bad views and would be deceitful. Yeah, some people, I think, they are so ignorant. Something which is very obvious to many people, but they cannot see that. So these, yeah, we can see the corresponding results of holding wrong views in the past. And some people, yeah, no matter how many times you explain, they never get it. So those are also results of holding wrong views. And then you will end up holding wrong views in your other lives. An environmental result is that will be an environment where the best and principal sources of resources will disappear, where unclean things will appear to be most pure, and misery will appear to be bliss, and where you will have no home, protector, or refuge. So those who held wrong views in the past will be born in a place or environment where the wrong views prevails, where the wrong views are very prominent or dominant. So you are born in that kind of environment or that kind of community, that kind of society, then you will kind of subscribe to that kind of wrong view. And then because of your wrong view, you will have difficulty meeting a perfect teacher. So you will see some people who are really into Dharma, all this, but they end up meeting what you call controversial teacher, and they end up, you know, believing into something else. So that's very unfortunate. So that's, these are the results. You end up with, you know, wrong teacher. And then, of course, if when it says no protector or refuge, so when you subscribe, when you are born in that kind of environment where you subscribe to wrong views, of course, there is no protection. You are already holding something wrong, and then based on that, you will be going to the wrong direction instead of going towards the right direction. So that's why there is no protection, there is no refuge, no real refuge. So these are the 10 non-virtues, and then the opposite of these is called the 10 virtues. And then in Lamrim also it distinguishes about.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt you. I was just thinking about, there's a very well-known American Tibetan Buddhist scholar who's now established a very, I guess, controversial position, I think we would say as an example of wrong view.
Mm.
He is Stephen Batchelor.
Mm.
For many years, was recognized as a very authentic scholar.
Mm.
In the last few years, he's come out with some views suggesting that, if I understand it, you can be a Buddhist, but it's not necessary to believe in certain things. And one of those is rebirth.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting a lot of attention, partly because of his past influence or, you know, situation. And he's very intent on this. It's like he's redefining.
Mm, mm,
he's decided to redefine Buddhism. And it's unusual because often I see this kind of thing happen with somebody who's either not really familiar with Buddhism or new to it and tries to argue that, well, I don't see why you need this and so on. But here's somebody who's very influential doing this. And it's quite unfortunate, I think.
Yeah, so it's very unfortunate for those who follow him, you see.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you say that, you know, you don't need to believe or subscribe to this idea of rebirth, that means you are not Buddhist. Because Buddhists, one distinguishing feature is karma. And we have discussed this. Without rebirth, we cannot talk about karma. Karma is not this life. You have to talk of the past life. You have to talk about the future life. So where is it? Yeah. So that's why. So we have to make, you know, prayers to always meet qualified teacher.
The other thing that becomes obvious as you think of his implications is that if there's no rebirth, then there's also no reason to pursue enlightenment.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
So if there's just one life,
then it's like, well,
no need. So just pursue, you know, money and all that, does it?
Well, it sounds like he's keeping, the view seems to be like more of a broad view, humanistic values,
mm.
You know.
No, if he says you have a secular approach, that's okay. So when you are secularizing the Buddhist principles, that is okay. You don't have to subscribe to that. You know, it's based on, you know, just secular. Yeah, but if you say, oh, Buddhism, you know, you can be Buddhist, but you don't have to subscribe to this. That's I think something, yeah, doesn't fit in there. Mm. Okay, so now we are going to discuss a little bit about this heavy karma and light karma. So what are the karmas that are categorized or constitute as a heavy and what constitute as light karma? So first of all, we have those 10 non-virtues. So the three of the physical and four of the verbal. So those, the it is like this. How to put it? The earlier, the what do you call that? The first ones are heavier in order, progressively. Killing is heavier than stealing. Stealing is heavier than the what was the third one?
Sexual misconduct.
Misconduct. Yeah. Yeah, it goes this way. So how do you put that? I don't know. Yeah. It's not progressively,
no,
isn't it? It is. You see? So the first one is heavier compared to the next one. Next one is
decreased by
intensity. But when it comes to the mental of three of the mental negative actions, then it's the other way around. The wrong view is heavier than the ill intention. The ill intention is heavier than the covetousness. So that's one way of categorizing. Another way of categorizing is there are five parameters, there are five criteria. So the first one is because of the thought. If you did any action, any of the negative, these 10 non-virtues, with strong intention, let's say for killing, you really made, even in justice system, isn't it? Premeditated murder is considered heavier than secondary murder, yeah.
Or crime of passion.
Yeah, crime of passion, or you know, all that. So it's likewise, you know, if you put so much effort, intention, meditated, you know, contemplated, then that becomes heavier than, you know, something you just do out of the, I don't know, out of the blue or whatever. Yeah. That's the because of the thought. And then there's something called because of the action. It's how you engage in that action. For instance, killing. So you can kill an animal with just cutting the throat, but you can also torture the animal. You can skin the animal alive, and you're not just in a very cruel way. So those killing with a cruel way is more is heavier than those, you know, just killing. And then something called the absence of an antidote. So if you are a person who never practiced any Dharma, and if you continue engaging in negativities, so those negativities of those people tend to be heavier than those people who occasionally do some practice. That kind of lessens the heaviness. And then we have something called adhering to the wrong views. But those who do with, you know, wrong views, like animal sacrifices. In Nepal, every year they kill millions of cows and cows, oxen. They this belief that this is a offering to God. So if you do with, if it is something that is driven by wrong view, that becomes heavier. And then because of the object. So object, so you have Buddha, Bodhisattva, and then other practitioners. So if you create a negative karma in relation to Buddha, it is heavier than a karma that is created in relation to Bodhisattva. So likewise, it goes down. So likewise, if you create a negative karma in relation to an ordinary person, it is heavier than the karma in relation to a person who is not ordinary, lay person. And then also in Lamrim, it says that the karma, that negative karma that is in relation to your parents, is heavier than, you know, those are ordinary other people. So that's the object. And then there are also other classifications. Projecting karma and throwing karma. Have you heard about this? Then completing karma, karma whose result will be definitely experienced, karma whose result will not definitely experience. So let's see what this is about, projecting karma and completing karma. So some karmas, let's put it this way, all the negative karmas are throwing karmas. It will throw you to lower realms. Did I articulate that? Okay, let's just put it this way. And then some negative karmas, they act as a completing karma. So let's give you an example. So that's me and my dog. Kelsang is her name. And the dog actually belonged to another Rinpoche. And this dog, for some reason, she took a liking to me. So every morning when the other Rinpoches have another building, Rinpoche lives in another building, and then I live in the monk's quarter. Every morning when Rinpoche opens the doors, she straight away runs to my place. And whole day she just stays with me. And night time she refused to go back. Rinpoche had to come to call her. And that happened every day. And Rinpoche was so tired of this. I said, okay, you keep it. That's how she came to be my dog. And this dog, of course I spoiled her. She only eats meat, fresh meat. I'm not fresh meat, I cook meat. Of course in Tibetan we don't buy those dog foods. We feed normal foods. But this one, she won't eat. Other dogs, if you have a little bit of meat, they will really, you know, just so happy with that. Not this one. So she eats once a day, but that one is just meat. And even momoya, you know what momoya, the meat dumpling. If you give her the meat, momo, no. You have to peel open, and then she will just eat the meat, that's it. And then, of course, she sleeps in my room, on my bed. So even though born as animal, but really good life, isn't it? And I think it's same with the dogs here in America. If you compare the dogs in India, the lives of the dog, standard of living, let's put it this way, compared with American standard, wow, I was very surprised. I mean, it was a kind of a cultural shock. When I was in university, so university hosted this, it's not football, it's a rugby, I think it's a rugby, yeah. And then I went to, just to support one of my classmates, he is the coach there, so just to support him, so I also went to watch that. And I was watching, I was just sitting there on the slope there. A family came with a trolley, a baby, and then of course they have this folded cushion, and which opens up to a big, piece of cloth. So I was just observing them. So they came, and then they have a dog with them, and they put that mattress there on the floor, and the first thing is call the dog, and the dog sat in the middle, center of that. And then the baby was put on. I was like, Tibetan was it, go the dog out. The baby will be in the center. And then there's a family. So A daughter came with hot dogs, bought two or three. And then, of course, the dog gets to... They fed the dog first. I was observing all this. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you see, so these dogs, if you compare it with other dogs, very fortunate circumstances. So this, what we call is, even though they are projected by negative karma, because they are born in animal, as animal, but the circumstances, the conditions they have, is completed by positive karma. So positive karma completed, I mean, facilitated all that good life. So that's with the animals. So that is what we call projected by negative karma, but completed by virtuous karma or positive karma. And then we have, this is just an example, we have people, even though who are born human, but their condition is worse than those animals. Look at this person, homeless person, and you see it's all snow there, and it's just wrapped with just one kind of sleeping bag. Must be so cold. And even if it's not snow, I was trying to yesterday, trying to pace up and down to get some exercise. So cold, I couldn't. I just did one and came, had to come back and imagine that person. So this kind of situation, we call that it is projected by positive karma, but completed by negative karma. And then you can also, we can also look at the situation in some countries where people are starving. People are dying from starvation. So even though they achieved human rebirth, but their condition is even worse than animal. So these kind of situation, we could say that they are projected by positive karma, but completed by negative karma. Yes.
Question, and you were in Phoenix, and we had a lot of homeless that lived around us because we lived right in the city.
Mm.
And some of them that I would talk to chose to be homeless in the sense of, they said they could not live in an apartment or a structure, especially two brothers. And they said, no, we like being out. We do not want to be confined. We choose this. And even with... So how would you look at their completed, since they're choosing this and it's not just happening?
That also their, what you call the mental disposition or propensity. It is also influenced by karma. Of course, if you deep down, who would like to, you know, be a homeless person? Who would like to... sleep in that kind of intense cold, but somehow the imprint is so strong that they are kind of, you know, influenced by that in their decision, even though they think that, you know, they are having a choice. So once I read one of the philosophy class which I took, they're talking about determinist view. So I like how they explain. He says that if you are in a house, you are in your room, but the house is locked. It's locked. So you remain in your house. You have full freedom. Until you try to walk out, you think that you have freedom. Free will. This is about on the free will. You have the free will. Because you don't realize that the door is locked. You don't realize that, you know, you cannot get out. To you, it's like, oh, I am free, you see, I can do anything. But reality is the door is locked. You cannot really get out of this. So, maybe, yeah. It's not, we don't subscribe to this view, but generally, you know, sometimes you feel that I have the freedom. This is what I am doing. But definitely there is an influence of your past karma.
Yesterday I was visiting a family and there was a little boy there. He was about, he was 5 years old, and I was told that he had just been finally diagnosed as autistic. And the boy he was agitated, but he was friendly, and he was really friendly towards me, and he came and sat on my lap a lot of times. And he was playing with a tablet, and there was a game in there in which he would repeatedly cause this little creature, fictional creature, to burn. And what he said repeatedly was, "I like hurting people." Yeah. And I thought of that propensity thing. And I talked to him a little bit about that, and you know, not about propensity, but I said, you know, if you hurt people, they're going to be mad at you and want to hurt you back, and you didn't have the capacity to process that. And but here he was, affectionate towards me, sitting on my lap, enjoying it, and repeatedly coming, it was stuck on his brain, you know. I like to hurt people. It was like, absolutely, that's propensity.
Yes, yeah. So that's why, of course, we say that, you know, those video games, especially violent video games, is really, really bad.
Yeah.
And they make so much money out of this.
Yes.
And of course, research has repeatedly shown that, you know, how video game influence aggression, aggressive behavior. So there is a positive correlation between, you know, engaging in violent video games and violent behavior. So that is... But the sad thing is, nowadays, even in Asian countries, so one time, of course, in Asian culture, the husband works and the wife takes care of the child. So it's like housewife. But that is changing now. Now both husband and wife, they work. Because they work, they don't have much time with their children. And to compensate that, they feel guilt. They feel guilty. So in order to compensate that, they buy all kind of these things. Whatever they ask for, oh, I want a video game, they buy that. And then some, you will see that even just 3-4 years old baby, the easiest way to keep the child not crying is to give them a video game or iPad or whatever it is. And they spend so much time playing all these violence games. So it becomes a normal for them. You become kind of numb. So like the nursing, when my sister is a nurse, so of course first few months, of course, when she worked in trauma center, so there's a lot of, you know, death happening. So first few months, he says that when you see dead body, there's a bit of fear and all that. But it says after a while, you get used to it, kind of desensitized. So that's what is, I think, happening. If you keep playing and killing all this, so later, you know, in real life also, you know, it's killing is nothing, you know, to them. It's just normal thing. So there's this danger. Yeah, anyway, I don't have any kids, so... Yeah, so there is this problem now, this problem. Yeah, many parents, they have this guilt, so they don't want to kind of curb all this. So they let their children do whatever they want. And I just remember, I was very shocked. Recently I was at my relatives, and their daughter had left for university. So I asked them, "So do you feel the absence of your daughter now that, you know, she is no longer here?" I said, "Not really." He says that even when she is there, when she was there, is that she will be just upstairs in our rooms. And even when for dinner time or meal time, they have to text her. Come down, dinner is ready. I was like, really? This is 21st century now.
It happens so fast.
Yeah. So normally Tibetan tradition, yeah, we will always eat together. Same table. But now when you come here, of course, first of all, it's so busy. And then, of course, children go to school. You are brought up with that kind of culture and all this. So it's like texting, come down for dinner. And then sometimes you don't get answer, isn't it? Yeah, so that's unrelated. Okay, let's try to finish this before we have a break. And then we have other classification karma. Karma whose result will be definitely experienced. So those are the karmas which is done and accumulated. So have you heard about this? Karma that is done but not accumulated. But karma that is accumulated but not done. Yeah, so those karmas which are both done and accumulated, then we will experience the result. But those karma which are done but not accumulated, we will not experience the results. So this begs the question, what is the karma that is done but not accumulated? What are the karmas that are accumulated but not done? So the karma, those who are intentionally done and accumulated, are those the karmas that we have discussed, which has all that four elements. When it has all that criteria, that becomes karma that is done as well as accumulated. So here, when it says karma is done, is more of a intention. When there is intention and all that. So some karmas you have no intention. Let's say walking out and then you accidentally killing an insect under your foot. You have no intention. So that kind of karma is not done. Because there is no intention. So here there are 10 karmas. So other than these 10, it says that these are the karmas that are intentionally done and accumulated. So like karma in the dream. If you have a dream of killing somebody, so that is not considered as karma that is done and accumulated. I think that it is better to understand this way. Let's say take killing for an example. So an action of killing that is done but not accumulated. So you can think of four possibilities. So in killing, action that is done but not accumulated is, can you think of an example? So let's say walking and stepping on an insect ant. So you have no intention. Because of that, it is not done. But the actual action happened. So it is accumulated. And then the karma that is accumulated but not done is, let's say you contemplated on killing someone, but you didn't actually carry out the action. So you didn't do that, but you have thought about it. So that is what is called the karma that is accumulated but not done. And then we have the both, and then and none, neither. So these are four possibilities. So let's watch this as a distress. Sound, please. Thank you. What do you think? Is there anything there? Message? This is pure for de-stressing. I was telling Anthony that when I was doing my psychology degree, there's a lot of assignment and a lot of reading. So what I used to do was that every hour when I'm reading something, after reading for an hour, I will just watch one or two of these episodes and then it kind of de-stress and then goes back. I went back and then read and then another two. So that's very good, very helpful. Okay, let's have break now.
Nobody challenged this guy, by the way. So, and I was in the house and, you know.
Maybe I should go on?
Yeah.
It's okay. Ken had his happiness dose.
You're easy, Ken.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have, for 3 weeks, we have discussed on karma. So what is the take away from this? First of all, yeah, we have already discussed this. Once you really reflect on this, when you contemplate on karma, remember the characteristics, that's very important. When you reflect on the four characteristics of karma, then of course you realize that once you engage in any karma, it invariably produces result corresponding to the action. So that when you have conviction that how karma works, then what happens is our tendency to blame others for our, shortcomings will stop, will end. At the moment, yeah, including myself, when things don't go as our wish, we will always find something else. Either it is the fault of external things, or somebody else's fault is. We never think that, oh, it is my karma. We never think that. If I have not created this karma, no matter, you know, if 1,000 people try to cause you harm, never, ever. It is like the burn seed. If you plant a burn seed, and then no matter, you know, how diligently you water that seed, nothing will sprout because there's no seed there. Likewise, if we had not created any karma, if there is no karma to experience such results, no matter other people, no matter any external situation, it will never ripen. We will never experience. So you see, when you think of this, and then if you are able to gain the conviction that, you know, that's how karma works, then it will definitely help us in preventing us from blaming others. And then the other side is, once we have this kind of understanding, then we will say, okay, since this is my action, I should stop doing this. If I want to put an end to the results, I should also put an end to the cause. I should stop doing all these negativities. Likewise, if I want to experience these positive results, also I need to cultivate the causes for all these conditions. So that's we have to learn from this. That's we have to keep reminding us, you know, since we all want happiness and do not want suffering. So there's no other way other than cultivating the positive positive actions and not committing negative actions. That's the way. So when we talk, so of course the positive karma, negative karma, so there are so many. So we don't know how to do it. But Lama Tsongkhapa make it very easy. So you have just this 10. Just follow this 10. If you engage, you know, if you refrain from all these 10 negativities, that is actually good enough. If you are able to do that, that is good enough. That will guarantee so many things. For example, the speech, high speech. Then what else? What are the four? Four of the speech.
Lying.
Uh-huh.
Speech, mm-hmm. speech, mm-hmm. idle gossip.
Yeah. So imagine if you are really able to abide by that, it will be completely different. Let's not talk about, you know, future life and all that. But in this very life, if you always tell the truth, what happens? The effect. Even in your family, people will trust you. Whatever you say will have power. And then, of course, your colleagues, your neighbors, your friends, everybody trusts you. That is really good thing. And then, harsh speech. In the family, anger is always there. When we say harsh word, remember we said that harsh word, even though there is no sharpness, it cuts the heart. In the family, these arguments are inevitable. But if you use harsh word, it really creates a dent there. No matter how many times you apologize, there's a dent, something what you call indelible. Is something remains there. So if you are able to really curb that, you see your communication improves, your relationship improves. Many of the divorce cases, you see, you get angry and then say something, and then of course the person will say something else back. That really, you know, aggravates the situation. And then divisive speech. If you engage in that, other people will not be your friend for long. Because person will read, oh, that person, you know, better not associate. That person, you know, oh, he talks bad about you. But if you are not like that, people will trust you. They will tell stories. They will become really good friends. So just in this life, you see, if you are able to abide by that, it is really good. But all this boils down to the resolution. For monks, we have taken all these vows, different, so many number of vows. So we don't have to do every morning, you know, have this motivation. But for lay people who have not taken any vow, in this kind of vow, so it is always helpful to have this resolution in the morning, to make this resolution, to resolve not to engage in this. You see, most of the days, we don't really engage in all of this. But if you didn't have this intention, if you didn't have that resolution, then what happens is, even if you don't do it, you don't get the benefit, you don't get the merit, you don't get the benefit of refraining from these actions. It's like tree and stones. They don't engage in all of these negativities, but they don't gain anything because they don't make the intention. So it is very important that every morning you make this intention. Today, I will not engage in this 10. You kind of go through that. You know, I will not engage in killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, this and this and this and this. Then, by evening, if you are able to refrain from that, you have achieved the merit of abiding, engaging in these actions. But if you don't have that resolve, if you haven't made that resolution, then even if you had not engaged in this, you will not get the benefit. So it is very important. It is all about mindset. It is all about that making that decision, that determination. So in order to maximize the benefit, it is good to, you know, every morning make this resolution.
I want to say something here. It was helpful for me when I read that, I don't know exactly where I got that, maybe you even mentioned it, but you don't do this, but what do you do then instead? And so it was suggested that we remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, you know, with my colleagues, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't terrible and so on, but they said, aha, here it is. This is when I don't join in, I'd be silent about, you know, during that. So it gave me what to do instead, because I recognized it. And, okay, but I'm a social being, so what do? You know, I'm not going to, you know, criticize them and so on. I'm just going to not refrain it, and I'm just going to be silent and eat my food. So it was helpful to, you know, to, and also yesterday I was, Friday I was in a workshop on ethics. And one of the things that they have in their social work ethics is not to criticize and, you know, unwarranted criticism of our colleagues.
So
there it is.
So of course, the remaining silence is an action that you adopt. But of course, you have to have, it has to be preceded by this intention to, you know, refrain from these actions. So that's very good. And my godmother, she used to do that. She told me that she decided not to join any of these lunches with the colleagues. So what happens is when you meet with the colleagues, then this gossip, of course, you have to talk about. And normally it revolves around, oh, this boss, this person, that person, that person. And then you feel that you're obliged to contribute to that, to the conversation. So then, yeah, you're engaging in criticism and gossiping and all this. So her principle is that don't go and have lunch with, you know, this your colleagues and all this. Yeah, so likewise, you are saying that, you know, to remain silent. That's why many practitioners remain silent, practice the silence. So there's a very good excuse.
I finally understood that.
So it's a very good excuse for you not to say anything. Oh, Rinpoche is in silent meditation. That's it. Well, I'm in silent meditation, yeah. So that kind of concludes the karma So as I suggested, so every morning you have this, generate this motivation, and then you can also, you know, target, you know, whatever your weakness is. If your weakness is in slandering, if your weakness is in, you know, gossiping, if your weakness is in lie or whatever, lying, so you can kind of target that. Okay, for this month or for this week, I will focus on, you know, this practice, particularly, you know, the whatever, like slander. Okay, for this week, I will not engage in the action of slandering. And then, yeah, you try. You do, of course, first few days, you wouldn't even remember. But in the evening, when you kind of revisit your day and, you know, replay that, you will say, oh, I've engaged. It's okay. Okay, today, you know, I forgot to do that. Tomorrow, I will try my best. And then if you do that, it becomes a practice. It becomes your habit. And then, yeah, they will come there, oh, I hardly engage. Today, I hardly engage in action, slandering action. So that's very good. So you can choose, you know, to one of these and target. And when you think that you are able to curb a particular one, you can proceed on to the next one. So this way, first of all, you make that motivation to refrain from all the negativities. So whatever you did not do, you still get the benefit. And specifically, if you target that one, you will be able to curb that. That's how we improve. That's how we progress in our spiritual path. So that's about karma. And then I thought that since Thanksgiving is coming, we will do some... It's up to you. I thought that, you know, maybe you can try this and make this Thanksgiving something different. Gratitude letter. Gratitude is well researched now in psychology, especially in positive psychology. So there are so many research, the benefit of gratitude. Just to give you an example, so this one, the letter of gratitude, further evidence for author benefits. So even if you don't send the letter, so normally the gratitude letter, the recommendation, the advice is that you write the letter and then you send it to the person, you hand it to the person. But this one is saying that even if you don't hand that letter to the person, there is still a benefit, that there's evidence for author benefit. As long as you write a gratitude letter, there is benefit. So here the abstract, I'll just read. Can you read there?
Yes.
Okay. So this study examined the effects of writing letters of gratitude on three primary qualities of well-being: happiness, life satisfaction, and depression. Gratitude was also assessed. Participants include 219 men and women who wrote three letters of gratitude over a three-week period, a two-way mixed method ANOVA with the Bidwin factor, and what was the analysis was conducted. Results indicated that writing letters of gratitude increased participants' happiness and life satisfaction while decreasing depressive symptoms. So just for 3 weeks, over the 3 weeks, they wrote three letters. And just that, just doing that, it has increased the satisfaction of life, happiness, and reduced the system, depressive symptoms. So that's one research. And then another one, this is interesting in a sense that this is the latest one, is 2018, published in 2018. Does gratitude writing improve the mental health of psychotherapy clients? So normally the studies are conducted with healthy people. So in healthy people, it shows positive result. But now saying that if you bring in those who are having some issues like depression and all this, how does it work? Does it work or not? So that's what they wanted to try. And the result, what they did was they were... 293. It's a big study. Sometimes in the research you say that when you read that, there are 10 participants. So then, yeah, you don't really, you know, you have to take with caution the results. But here it's 293. And what they did was and most of these people are having issues related to depression. And they put these participants in three groups. All of them received counseling. All of them received counseling. But one group, they are on top of the counseling, they are asked to write a gratitude letter. One gratitude letter every week for 3 weeks. And then another group, they are asked to write, it's more of an expressive writing, asked to write on the deepest thoughts and feelings about a negative experience. So if you have experienced a negative, negative experience, so you just write about it. Two. And then there was another group who didn't do any of this, just received the counseling. So at the end of the 3 weeks, and the result shows that those who are in the gratitude letter writing conditions, they reported significantly better mental health for 4 weeks. And then when they follow up at week 12 and still reported higher mental health. So the reason they say that, it's not really definite, but suggestion is that when you write a gratitude letter, what happens is it kind of helps you to shift your attention away from toxic emotions such as resentment and envy. So when we are writing about it, we are reflecting on the good things that happened to you or, you know, the other's kindness. So that kind of diverts your attention from ruminating over the those unpleasant incidents. And also when you are focusing on that, it is harder to remember the negative experience. So they are postulating that maybe that's why they tend to have better positive the mental health. So that's why in positive psychology, this journaling of these three good things, and these are very popular, and these are based on evidence, empirical evidence. It really shows that there is some positive benefit. So I thought that maybe since there's still time, since you all are going to celebrate Thanksgiving, normally the Thanksgiving is you have a turkey and, you know, all gather and have food, isn't it? Is that, or you do more than that? Generally the idea
we
is...
We used to watch football games.
Watch football game. It's more of a, you know, get together, whole family, you know, that's one. But you can add something different this time, you know. You can do a letter, gratitude letter. You choose any person. You choose a person, think back over the past several years. This is based on positive psychology's findings. So these are the instructions from the based on the research. So it says, think back over the past several years of your life and call to mind. So this kind of aligns with Nikon. Remember, you're supposed to do the Nikon, you reflect on this person. So you can choose somebody who is coming for the Thanksgiving. And you can, it's not just one person, you can even choose to, you know, several people if you want to. So the main thing is, think back over the past several years of your life and call to mind a person who did something for you for which you are extremely grateful, but you have never expressed your deep gratitude. This could be a relative, a friend, a teacher, or colleague, or it doesn't have to be somebody who is coming to your house, somebody, you know, somewhere else, but you can always write. And so there are instructions, specific instructions to be effective. So there are these instructions. So the first thing is, write as though you are addressing this person directly. You can use words such as dear or whatever. And it says, don't worry about perfect grammar or spelling. As if you are, you know, really talking to the person, expressing in front of the person. And secondly, is the most important is, describe in specific terms what this person did. Not something like, you know, very abstract. Oh, thank you for everything you have done. So there, it doesn't really describe what the person did. It says, be very specific of the action the person did. And then why you are grateful to this person. You first describe the action, and then why you are grateful to this person, and how this person's behavior affected your life. Try to be as concrete as possible. So very specific, to be very specific. And then the third one is, describe what you are doing in your life now and how you often remember his or her effort. And finally, try to keep your letter to roughly one page. Yeah, some people like to write and write. And the reader, when you see they are too tired, before reading is already exhausted. So always, you know, short, precise, concise. Then your person will really appreciate that. And then, if possible, you should try to deliver your letter in the person. Or you can read it to the person. So why not give it a try? If you have somebody whom you really need to express your gratitude. So this is one way to do. And there's nothing to lose for you. And most important thing is, you must curb your expectation. You know, don't expect, you know, the person will show so much, you know, gratitude and, you know, the positive response. Yeah, do it without expectation.
Yeah.
It is really from your heart, you share that. The person may not even say thank you, but that is not your goal. Your main goal is to really express how the person has been very kind to you. So that's important. Otherwise, you know, this is supposed to bring happiness, and then you end up with, you know, resentment and regret and all that. And then started to blaming me for making you do that. Yeah, so I thought that maybe you can do something different this time, and then see. Who knows? So that's all for today. If you have any questions, yeah. Yes.
I'm still confused about whether or not negative karma can accrue from dreams.
Mm.
And I heard you say today that it does not.
It's not complete.
Not complete.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. It's not complete. Remember, in order to have a complete karma, you need to have all these four elements present. But in those, yeah, I think the final culmination is not that. Let's say for killing, the person doesn't die. Yeah, so yeah, these elements are missing. Because of that, it's not a complete karma. Hmm?
Did they become neutral?
No, it's not neutral. There's still, you know, if you lie, let's say if you kill an ant, you know, while stepping on it. So even though there's not a complete karma, but they still have some, result. There will be some. There is still a negative. Hmm. Because it is not complete karma, the result will be lighter. Yeah, karma normally has a lot of questions. Okay, if no question, then we will do the prayers.
Begin with the mandal offering and then the concluding prayers.
Yeah.
My mind just blanked.
Jujje medo damare ra linje nyende jamba de sanje jendo medem bhavaye jogun namda jela chabara sho rana mandala ganaya daya me Rimboje maje banange joje keba nyamba mebaya Kone kondo pevara sho Zirabden je namga chile choju yeba Lozan denbe jame sazum ye Drove menze tadu ne joro che Shengam zo penda dewa malu jungwe ne Chere sewan tinzin jazo ye Shabe Siddhi Bhadu Tengyuro Che Chedara Khenpa Tang Kundu Zangpo Tengyang Tengshintu Teta Kwenye Jisu Talup Che Gyawa Teta Tamche Rabdu Ngo Tusu Shekpe Gyawa Tamche Ki Ngova Kala Shodo Ngapa Daji Gyewe Zawan Degwen Jan Sangbo Chuji Rabdo Ngo Wa Ye